Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Hey, we're inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of November 16th and 17th. And here we go again. A happy new year to all. You're on Parallel Universe of Rack and Fin Radio. When a season opens or reopens, a need cause for a new year celebration. Okay, it's more of a reopening insofar as with the Blackfish, a.k.a. Tog, the limit goes from 1 to 5 starting today. That's going to run through December 31st, and it's going to drop to 4 as of January. Boy, that's January, February, Tog, and that is, that's a whole different ballgame. Still, the 15-inch minimum, and man, there's a lot of fish out there. The Tog bite is ferocious! Same can be said for the stripers. Bass getting caught on plugs, bass getting caught on sand eels are all over it, and the bluefin tuna running around out there. We already did a segment on small boat tuna out front, but these aren't small boat. These are big tuna. Some of these fish that report I've seen, some of the photos, the guy sent me some great out-of-water photos. These things ought to be 300 pounds, if not bigger, everywhere. They're on the bunker, and they're on the sand eels. But it's crazy striper bite out there as well. Hey, good luck to the youngsters that are going to be hunting next week for the Deer Firearm Youth Hunt on the 23rd. Get the youngsters out there. Very important. Okay, let's get to the pheasant stocking. Oh, don't forget, fall trout stocking coming up in a couple of weeks. For the pheasants in the Rack and Fin Radio listening area, for this coming Tuesday the 19th and Thursday the 21st, these numbers are for both. So when I say the numbers, it's going to be for both days. Collier's Mills, 200 on the 19th and also 200 on the 21st. We go from there. Howardsville, 50. 50, Manahawkin, 50, 50. Manasquan, 110, 110. I know you sometimes leave Manasquan off the list. That's some hot hunting up there. Medford, 80 and 80 in the Forge. Stafford Forge, 160 and 160. And the Southern Reach of Rack and Fin Radio. The Dix Wildlife Management Area, 130, 130. Glassboro, 100, 100. Okay, here we go. Glassboro just had something come through yesterday from Fish and Wildlife regarding the stocking of Glassboro. We'll get to that in a minute. Heiserville, 50 and 50, Mad Horse, 90, 90. Millville, again, 340 boat days. Nantucket, 110 boat days. Port Republic, 50 boat days. Tuckahoe, 110, 110. And Winslow, 144. The Bob Whites. Greenwood, 280 and 260. And Peasley, 280 and 260. Now for Glassboro, you know it was shut down because of the fires. What's going to be happening now? They're going to be stocking Glassboro Fish and Wildlife, but in different areas. The birds will be distributed evenly among the other stocking points within the Glassboro tract. Fish and Wildlife staff will denote the perimeter of these areas with orange paint on trees so it's easily discernible. And the online stocking maps, go to njfishandwildlife.com and getting it done. Okay, coming up, man, eel is a deal. Captain Brett Taylor, Real Reaction Sport Fishing. And we're also going to touch on, jig and tog, we did that. Rig and tog, the way to go. And also, check it out. If we can track him down, we hope will be the future governor of the great state of New Jersey. Jack Cittarelli, going to wrap it up with Andy Grossman at Riptide VFW Striper Tournament coming up. Great cause, great guy, great job. Grab that cup, grab that rebel. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. Yes, I'm exploding like the drummer. Oh, what was that movie? The band? Oh, that was crazy. Right off his seat. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. South Jersey's talk station.
Hi, this is Brighton Richards with Apex E-Surfing. You know, the blonde-haired girl in the pink truck. Don't you just hate high-pressure sales guys that try and force you into making a decision on the spot? We're not like that. We're a family-owned business that can give you a quote in 30 seconds at apexeastroofing.com. Not sure the size of your roof? No problem. Give us a call and we'll come out. We have a 5-star rating on Google with nearly 200 reviews.
Get a price on your roof in 30 seconds at apexeastroofing.com.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Yahoo! Full moon fever, baby!
Tom Petty there. It is just absolutely happening. Today, the striper bite, the tog! Tog! Again, it's opening day. Goes to five-ish.
Tog bite is ferocious. The stripers have become sort of Yeah, a lot of attention to the tiger. The bass are still there. Smaller size is coming down. So you're getting some slot fish. You're also getting some bonus. Just got my bonus tag. Thank God. Starting to get some bonus tag fish in there. So it is wide open. But the eel is the deal. Okay, they're doing the trolling. They're starting to do the mojos and the umbrella race. They got the sand eels coming on. Plenty of bunker out there. Rainfish, everything. Eel is the deal right now. The coterie of people that use the eels, it's almost like an art. To me, it is an art form. Most of the time at night, sometimes just at daylight, the first, you know, hour of light, when the eels are around, the bass are tough for a bass. It's like me resisting a slice of, actually, I can't say a slice, a whole anchovy pie. It's just not happening. Put a call in to one of the finest striper, Todd Tugers. I'm going to try to sneak a segment at him on that. Anglers around. Captain Brett, he takes him. Taylor, Real Reaction Sport Fishing, based there out of Barnegat, Weirton area. Brett is on the pro staff of Pure Fishing, Minn Kota, St. Croix Rods, Yeti Products, S&S Jigs, now distributed by Mad Man. It's way to go, Stan. Stosh, the Ayatollah of Tuggerola on that. And he is an inshore pro staffer for Bass Pro Shops. You see Brett sometimes on air, an Atlantic City Bass Pro Man. He wows the crowd. Want to talk some eel is the deal this time for bass. Again, everyone's doing a troll, the poppers a whole bit, you know, doing the bunker chunks off the beach. Whoa, the eel. You steal them with the eel. Hey, Brett, how you doing, man? Sorry, man, I'm into the slime. How you doing?
Good, buddy. How you doing? And appreciate you having me on.
Oh, anytime, Brett. Anytime. Because eel is, you know, people think you just hook an eel up to the lips, cast it out, and that's it. No, a lot more to it. One, preventing the infamous eel ball, of which, you know, I've been known to get more than a few. My turn's out there. But, Brett, eel bite is going on right now. The tackle shops I visit up and down the shore selling a lot more eels. Again, it's more like a fraternity, the eel guys, like the trolling guys or whatever. What are you finding with the eel bite going on? You're basically the Barnegat Bay area back and out front. What do you got?
Yeah. The eel bite's really good right now. The anywhere in the inlet and in the back. You know, I like drifting. A lot of times we'll drift over some of these mussel beds.
Uh-huh.
And if you know Barnegat Bay, there's mussel beds in some of those channels. And if you find them, same areas they find actually a big fluke. A lot of times the bass will be staged there, and they will slurp down an eel very easily, especially if you fish. Yeah, I like fishing at that dinner time onward when it's dark, you know, or first thing in the morning. You got about 45-hour window in the morning, first thing in the morning, and using the eels, and then eventually we switch over to spot. But eels will work during the day too.
Brad, you go from the eel to the spot once the sun's up or full daylight. I know eels are primarily nocturnal, but they, you know, they're catadromous. They, you know, spawn, they grow up in fresh, they spawn and salt, that type of thing. But I'll tell you, man, they are, at nighttime especially, Brad, we do a lot of eel fishing on purpose for them, the gobby dones, people, with the garlic and the oil and the pan. But, Brett, the bass love the eels. There's just that key window, that short window of time when, man, they are on them big time.
Yeah, that's what, we hook them up. Obviously, you have to use circle hooks now.
Yep.
The rig is pretty easy. It's very similar to my spot rig, maybe a 20-inch, 24-inch leader, fluorocarbon leader, tied to your, you know, 3-4-5-aught circle hook.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, hook that eel right between, you know, the bottom lip to the top lip.
Right.
And the big thing is, you know, it's sometimes the easiest thing is to keep them on ice. That'll slow them down. Otherwise, once they get to operating temperature, we'll say, those things can ball up, slime up, and then you have, it could be, they twist like a pretzel. You have a disaster. Yep. So what I say is, you know, put them on ice. Some guys will actually hit them on side of the boat.
Yep.
You know, to be a little bit more humane, you put them on ice, that'll slow them down. Hook them, get them right in the water, you know, let that, you know, 2 ounce, you know, maybe in the inlet you're using 3 ounce, you know, get that out there and just basically just drifting and waiting for that pickup. And, you know, the big thing, I see this all the time, especially with circle hooks, don't swing. Let them run a little bit.
Let me interrupt you a second here, Taylor. Listen, you said that for my benefit again.
Okay, we're cool with that. All right, I have to say it, Taylor, you're an excellent. By the way, Brett is a full-time educator, part-time great captain. Brett, real fast, you're teaching what, chemistry, math, what?
Chemistry.
Is chemistry. That's right. He is the ionic bond of bass. How's that?
Oh, my God.
Brett, back to, seriously, on a serious note, back to the take, the bass on an eel. We've had taps, and we've had shots that almost, like, dropped your shoulder. I mean, is it predicated on the size of the bass, the water temp, the aggressiveness, the competition? So, I mean, is that a hit? That's a hit? Or, whoa, that's a hit! I mean, what do you see, again, too, when current's involved? What do you got?
It'll be like, the size. Obviously, the size of a bass will matter. A lot of times, you'll feel the pickup. Same thing with a spot. You know, it kind of goes very similar to a spot. You'll feel the pickup. You know, they might hit it a couple times, and that when that hit, we say that's actually them grabbing it in their mouth, reorienting the off the bait, the eel. And then once you feel that run, once you get that run, that's the fish. Now it has it. That's when you want to start. That's when you want to reel tight and, mm-hmm. and be, you know, hooked up. If guys reel tight with the circle hooks, or if you pull it, like you set the hook, when it's biting, you're not going to get it. So that's mm-hmm. why you got to let that fish run with it. You know, you only need to let it run maybe 3-4 seconds. Once it's on, you know, reel tight, and it'll come right in. But the biggest mistake anglers make is setting the hook with the circle. You'll miss it every time.
Brett, even to me, after all these decades, it's just a natural reaction. What's it, cross the rise, rip the lips type thing?
Yeah, it's, you know, you go from flounder fluke fishing, where, you know, you're tugging, where you're really ripping, setting that hook. Then you go to something where you're, okay, you know, or let's just say you're working bucktails with bass or soft plastics where you're setting the hook. But then you go to a live bait, and then it's counterintuitive, where you're like, okay, now I don't set the hook. Right. Now I let it run, and I just reel tight. And that's what it does trip. You know, anglers that don't do it all the time, it does trip them up. You just have there's a learning curve. So that's why you buy extra eels or an extra spot, because you might miss a couple if you swing. But the nice thing about eels is those things will stay alive all night.
Yeah.
You know, when you put it on the hook, that thing will stay. So you can literally move from spot to spot, and that eel will stay alive. But they're fantastic baits, and they're so easily digestible for bass that they don't, if there's bass around and you're using eels, you're not going to miss. Like, they're going to go.
It's almost like a guaranteed bait. Jonas Allen, Captain Brett Taylor, Real Reaction Sport Fishing. Brett's on the pro staff of Pure Fishing, Minn Kota, St. Croix Rod, Jetty Products, and S&S Jigs, distributed now by Mad Manis. And he's the inshore pro staffer for Bass Pro Shops there in Atlantic City. Well, Captain Brett, let me ask you this. Bigger the bait, the bigger the fish. I've seen guys that go into shops and want, in town we call them the gobby dones. Not the big, you know, but they want the biggest eels. Other guys, no, man, they want them like pencil length, like number two. What, again, you're targeting, again, the elephants eat peanuts thing come true. Will bass take a small eel like that, a big bass?
They'll take both. But if you want to target those, you know, not that we can keep them, but if you want to get a nice picture and go for a trophy bass, then I would say try to use that bigger eel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes it's not available. You know, you go to a shop, you go to a Creekside or Tony's Big Tackle, they only have a limited number of sizes just because of the shipments of who, you know, of what they're getting in.
Right.
Big bass will eat small eels too. So it doesn't, you know, you got to take your bass. When they're traveling down our coast, they're eating sand eels that are only 5-6 inches. So you got
right.
Big bass getting on the fish. So, you know, you get a eel in there, and, you know, they're not going to miss it.
Okay. Well, Captain Brett, now, any particular, you mentioned mussel beds, shell beds. Any other particular type of subsurface structure that bass will key on now, especially around inlets where the eel could be the deal?
Yeah, it's like, you know, if you guys are in the beach, right? So you, as a boater, you also can read the water. So I like looking at try to find some of those rip lines where you have, you know, you might have the bottom might go from 7 7 feet, 8 feet, whatever, back down to like 19 feet. And it's going to produce a rip on the surface.
There you go.
So usually we'll fish those rip lines. Barnegat Inlet has a rip line that runs diagonally almost from the lighthouse to the southern part of Island Beach State Park. Any of those rip lines, you'll see multiple rip lines in a channel. Sometimes you'll see it, you know, they might be a couple hundred yards apart, just the way the bottom is. Bass will set up there on the backside of those, and that's their areas where you definitely want to work the eel. So what I usually do, and I have on my charts, on my machines, on the vessel, I mark those rips. So this way, when I'm at night and you can't see the rips, then I know on my GPS, okay, here are the rips. And then that's where we drift those spots. And you know, I would say eight out of 10 times you'll get a pickup, you'll get a bass in those areas.
Brett, you mentioned the beach. We're up against a hard break. Brett, we'll be hanging around for another segment because you can't get away. Listen, real fast, in my years in Ocean City, which I thoroughly enjoyed, what a learning experience that was. Certain time of year, especially December, I would watch, and a shout out to the great Dick Wood there. He is the man. He's out there with his newel reel and I think zip rod 11-foot. He's casting from here to Mozambique. That's how those newel reels still work. Brett, I watched, again, they were old-timers. I mean, old-timers. These guys, 70s, walking eels down the beach, especially this down around Corson's Inlet. And, Brett, they would, not all the time, but they would score on the biggest bass around. Again, you talk about an art form, patience, and reading the water. You know anyone who still does that?
Who's that?
Yeah.
I would say my mom's cousin, he does that all the time. He fishes LBI Classic every year, and he uses eels all the time. And the thing is, he reads the water, he's fishing those holes, mm-hmm. and you're letting that, you're casting that eel out, you're kind of like working it, letting it swim a little bit, and some of the bass that he has scored off the beach on eel would blow your mind.
And there you go.
Compared to other things. But the nice thing is, if you do, like you said, a guy's fishing December, you know, you can get away sometimes fishing that during the day because you don't have,
exactly,
that late in the year, you don't really have bluefish around, so you can get away with fishing that more, you know, in the daytime.
Yeah, Brett, this is so. Whenever I saw these guys, it was either first light till first full sun up, or again around 3:30 or 4, right into dark. They weren't unfriendly, but they weren't friendly, if you get my drift. And
yeah,
Brett, just watching him, it was just amazing. Just amazing. Okay, we're up against a hard break. Come back. We're going to be talking some tog with Captain Brett. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Grab that cup. Grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. The eel is the deal.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Securing America.
It's a slow start to my ride along in South Texas. Lieutenant Chris Olivares is on patrol, keeping watch along the Rio Grande. Then a call comes in.
We're gonna head up to Reynolds.
Our first stop takes us to a town in the valley called McAllen. Three men from Honduras and Mexico tried to climb over the border. Their attempt fails. Lieutenant Olivares says it's one apprehension on a morning slower than the years back.
Right now in Texas, illegal border crossings are down 88%. Now that's in part because of what we've been able to do in Texas.
But with cooler weather and a new administration coming in January, preparations for a potential mass migration are underway. Texas DPS and the state's National Guard are forming lines across vulnerable areas of the state's 1,200-mile border. It's an exercise meant to send a message.
Illegal border crossers are not going to want to cross in that area. They're going to want to go somewhere else where there's less resistance.
Sarah Allegre, Fox News.
Atlantic City Electric is proud to partner with 153 local nonprofits in South Jersey that support neighbors in need, advance career opportunities, and create a stronger, more connected community. Together, we're making a difference in the lives of our customers and powering a cleaner, brighter future for us all. It's another way we're delivering more than energy. Learn more at atlanticcityelectric.com/power of community.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5, South Jersey's talk station.
And we are back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Week of November 16th and 17th. And a happy new year. Tog limit is 5. So let's talk some Tog. Now we had Bob Misak on, the Jetty Jockey Supreme. Besides Tog, you got to see this man with sheep's head. But Bob's a little more, he's not so low case. He's sort of a down in. But he was Jigs, Jigs, Jigs. Well, what about rigs, rigs, rigs? There are times when rigs will, conditions, whatever dictate, will outperform jigs. Sometimes jigs is not stronger and jigs just not practical to fish them. Although, shout out to Captain Pete there at Runoff. He makes these 4 and 5, 6 ounce Tog jigs up in New York. They hammer them. But for the most part, rigs are still important in the game. Especially on the party boats and stuff, again, when you get a current going. Captain Brett, now you do a lot, especially now, starting today on through, man, right into December, you're doing a lot of Tog charters as well. Rigs or jigs, what are the conditions that you prefer jigs? And also, Brett, a killer question is the type of sinker you prefer.
Okay. As far as I know you asked jigs. I like the using jigs when we're in anywhere out to about 80 feet. But the caveat is you got to pay attention to the current. So if the current is ripping, like we get a north or southerly current and it's ripping, then we switch to the rig. Because the jig sometimes will be, you know, by the time it gets down, you're going to be off the structure or right. You're just not going to be able to feel the bite correctly. So that's when we go to that. We go to heavier, you know, 8 ounce, 10 ounce. And I like the flat bank sinker. I don't paint mine. Some guys paint them, you know, dark red.
I just can't believe you said that. I was talking to Toginator Jim Berdini. He's the one that got that 20 pounder last year. I believe it was on the with the boat that goes out of the Osprey that comes down.
Yeah.
It wasn't the Osprey. It was a. Bobby Quinn's boat up there, Ocean Explorer, one of those boats. One of those.
Okay. 20,
now, Jim's so big, the fish looked like, it looked all right. It didn't look, but it was legit 20 pounds. Same thing he said, some of the guys on the boat, Sharpies, and he's pretty cool. He doesn't consider, he says, I'm a good Tog fisher. I'm not a Sharpie. Paint their sinkers either yellow or red.
Yes.
What is red. That? And what's that all about?
I think the dark red is more like a camouflage or so. So, you know, you get that shiny lead that's, you know, maybe that they think it's going to spook the fish. If you have, like, the yellow guys that do yellow or glow even, that's, like, to attract it because, you know, when we're using jigs, we're pretty much using glow. That's all we use.
That's been jigs. A standard with you, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, so, but as far as, you know, listen, my sinkers are, they're in a bucket on the boat. You know, they're not shiny. They get worn. But the, you know, I like the, like I said, when that current's ripped, that's when we'll switch to the rig. And then you start also playing with the length of the line to the hook.
Right.
So if it's ripping current, I like a little bit longer longer length between the line and the hook. When it's not as strong, then we'll go a little bit shorter. And that's so this way that current will keep it straight out away from that sinker. But we'll, you know, you catch, listen, we've caught 10 to 15 pound fish on both. Sometimes what I say to people is if you're going to rig fish, stay with it. If you start going back and forth between the rig and the jig, that can totally mess your mojo up for the day.
You're killing me, Taylor. You're saying that again about me. Okay, Brett, you got me twice. All right. You got me twice for the weekend. Okay, go ahead. Jeez.
No, that's a big, cause it's like, it takes you out of the game. Like Tog is a very psychological to the angler. Like you gotta, you know, you once you get in the rhythm, you want to stay in that. And then if you start changing it up, all of a sudden you get off the bite, it can take a little bit of while for you to get back on. And who knows, Tog are so temperamental, the bite might die. So this where...
Don't I know that?
I say is that, like, if you're... We usually will start out with the rig. If the bite, you know, if it's good, if they're real good, I'll stay on it. Now, if they start becoming skittish and the current's not too bad, then we go over to the jig and then, you know, then we'll stay on that jig. And it happened, you know, one of the charters, actually Joe Schirmelli, that we started with a rig and we ended up fishing with a jig, and we got our limit jig fishing because they just weren't hitting the rig that day.
You're talking Joe Schirmelli?
Yes.
From Outdoor Life.
Yes.
Joe's one of the greatest fishermen. The new generation. The guy's amazing, fantastic. I don't know. I think he had a pod. I don't know what he's doing on that podcast. But he's, listen, you talk about like Nicky Cicero up there at Folsom, an all-around fisherman. He has flies, trout flies that Orvis buys, and, and then he's doing tuna and tog. The guy's amazing. And he's a Jersey boy. Yes. And he's Italian. Yes. Sorry.
Just like Joe's very good. Just like Bob Mezak is a jetty master. He's amazing on the jetty. Amazing. So, but, you know, as far as the rig, yeah, that's what either one. That's what, once that current, you just got to play it by ear. When you get out there and you see that current's ripping, go to the rig. And I like heavier weights. A lot of my clients will like a little bit heavier weight when they're using a rig. They can feel it. You know, it kind of gets that rig down in that position. You want to keep it as perfectly still as you can. Let that tog come in. Sometimes they're a little scratchy. They right. might hit it. They might come back to it. The key is don't move it. Keep it nice and still. If you're not getting a bite after a while, then kind of, you know, try different drop down, different locations. But that's the, you know, the biggest thing with that is just keeping it still and being waiting for that bite. And then you got to time it. It's all timing.
Right. Okay, Brett, let me run this by you. You know me. A lot of guys have their own. No, I go for the storyboard rigs. I'm fat and lazy. Okay, we got that. But I fish a lot. But, Brett, the storyboard rigs, you prefer to do your own rigs. Everything's two. And I've even seen tog rigs tied with three hooks, two hooks. What about is a single hook? I'm a single hook rig guy.
I like the single hook unless we're going for bigger fish. Well, so what we'll do is, a lot of those, the white crabs, we'll use white leggers during that part, you know, later in the season.
Right.
If I can get those little cherry stone white leggers,
right.
we'll use a two, you know, our snafu. We'll use the snafu setup on those. Usually for more experienced tog fishermen, because you get, you know, there's two hooks there. You got to just, you know, you get a better shot at them. Some guys will put a sliding hook. And then you know, tied to your snelled hook. This way you can just you can. But usually, you know, for me, I keep it simple, especially for charters. If I'm going out myself or with my son or my dad, it's a little bit different. But
shout out to Big Mike Taylor. Sorry, go ahead.
For the novice angler, the recreational guy that's just going to go out, you know, start out with that single hook rig is fine. You can do the Virginia style. You could do an octopus. Gamagatsu octopus hook, but that's, you know, that's the easiest one. I prefer tying my own. You know, I tie my own. I can then this way I can, no pun intended, I can tailor the length of the leader I need, and I can do that dropper loop, you know, for where I want that for the sinker, and you know, that's the, and I usually use them 60-pound. We'll use 60-pound. Leader up to, you know, if it's real sticky, we fish some of these barges that are really sticky, we'll use up to 80-pound leader.
So, again, you're using fluorocarbon, correct?
Yeah, usually fluorocarbon.
But, Brett, do you find, again, I know the whole thing with the abrasion resistance, all that stuff, tog are not line shy, are they?
No, okay. They're not line shy. Now, I think it's more the abrasion resistance with it. If you do get a fish that it does nick the structure, you might have a better shot. But you know what? I've had it where guys, you know, even the braid, I always tell the guys when you bring up, just run your finger, make sure nothing's been nicked. Because if you have some of these higher profile barges and even ships that we fish, you get any nick in there and you don't realize it. If you get a trophy tog, you're losing that tog.
Gone. And Brett is notoriously not a brazier. Ken, Brett, two things before we go. I want to get into, just for a minute, Brett, we have a shout out to Peter Clark there, Marine Fisheries, was a guest last week on the reef system. Togs prefer, that we've had great luck around metals, tanks. I mean, what have you found, Brett, out front especially, again, using the rigs where a specific type of structure draws more tog? We've had, to me, it's always tank. If there's tanks around, there's Tog on them.
Yeah, for me, it's small and metal. That's what I look for.
Yeah.
Small, tanks are great. Jeeps,
anything like that.
The small barges are great. You know, your bigger ships and container barge, and the bigger stuff is going to get hit by, you know, headboats, and you're going to be more hit a lot more. But if you can, you know, if you get all the small stuff, you might find it's loaded with fish. Last year we ran two back-to-back trips, and we limited out within 2 hours on a small, super small piece, and you wouldn't believe the number of tog there. And I'm talking 50 tog we picked out of there in 2 days.
I was invited on that trip, but I went squirrel hunting.
You went squirrel. You love your squirrels. I know that.
Well, Captain Brett, listen, we're up against a hard break. One last. We're speaking Captain Brett Taylor, Real Reaction Sport Fishing. Go to his Facebook. Go to his website. I know, Taylor, you're probably booked through next March, so we'll get into that. But, Captain Brett, white leggers, green crabs, white leggers preferred. I've been on boats where guys using green crabs next to a guy with white leggers catching fish, and then other times they just want white leggers. Colder the water, white leggers, the dealio?
Yeah. Yes, that's, you know, like right now, green crabs are fine, right? It's kind of like when they move out. When they start moving out to the 40, 50 feet, that water starts getting colder. Then I transfer, you know, I bring green crabs with me, but I also bring the whites. But when you get into December, I don't even bring green crabs. I bring white crabs, and then we also bring hermit crabs. The hermits.
We don't talk about hermit crabs. We don't talk about hermit crabs. Okay, Tony, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, man. I was going to say, the white crabs are that's for people out there, and then a lot of times you'll have some, you know, we'll have a side little bucket for hermits, and therefore, you know, some of my better anglers, and you get really nice shots at, you know, big fish. Some of the areas that have big fish will send that down, but it's a different bite. It's quick.
Absolutely. I met Paulie Baikow. He was known as the equalizer, professional wrestler. And then he was working on the party boats at a Barnegat Light. He had hermit crabs on some trip to New Year's Day trips we did on the great Carolyn Ann 3. Outfished. Yep. We had white leggers. Outfished everyone insofar as size. Brett, even when the water was 40 degrees, 40 degrees, they're like, whoa, man. Paulie scored big time. Brett, one last thing before I let you go. Back to the snafu rig. And memories of the late great Andy Duffy, the A man. We miss him. We miss him terribly. Wood Advertising. He was always just a great guy coming in, giving us tips with the snafu rigs. I remember the mid '90s. Later, the snafu rig was the cat's ass. Sort of falling out of favor. I don't see that many guys using them on the boats that we go on. What do you think? Is there really the two hooks in there really that much in advance? I tried. Okay, I lost more fish than I hooked him with two hooks. But go ahead, bro. I'm sorry.
I've had some guys that have come on my boat that are, you know, they bring their own rods and stuff, and they use the snafu. I think that's more your hardcore guys. I think with the trolling motor, everybody's gotten into togging now.
Change the game, Brett.
It changed the game, right? Ooh. With everything.
Yeah.
It changed the game in a good way in some respects. And, you know, you can argue the negatives with it, but, definitely, I think there's your hardcore toggers. They're still using snafu rigs.
Yeah.
But you know, it's really what you prefer. A lot of guys will go. They'll try that. You know, you fish that whole crab because you're going for that big trophy tog.
Right. Exactly. Right. You know, yep. The whole. Yeah.
That's what I see a lot of guys like who I bring out. They'll use that snafu and they're fishing. They're going to fish a whole crab, a medium size. You know. White leg, or if they get some of the cherry ones, that's what they'll fish with. But
hermit crabs don't work on a snafu rig. Okay, we're speaking with Captain Brett Taylor, Real Reaction Sport Fishing Pro Staffer, Pure Fishing, Minn Kota, St. Croix Rods, Yeti Products, SNS Jigs, now distributed by Mad Madness. Again, shout out to Stan on that great deal. And Brett's an inshore pro staffer for Bass Pro Shops there in Atlantic City. Captain Brett, thanks for joining us. Before I let you go, how is that wonderful family?
I mean, the boys, Luke, Orioles, please, Orioles.
Everybody.
And Luke and Jen, most beautiful girl, Jen. How's everything going, all right?
Everybody's doing well. Like, Luke's a junior at Southern. The
already,
little guys.
He was just in fourth grade.
Yes, Jake is in preschool. Jen's doing great. You know, we're just getting through, trying to get through this, get used to the fall weather here that we finally have. But, yeah, everything's going. As far as business-wise, I'm booked out for 2024, but I did start booking for 2025.
Can Brett give that website and Facebook page or whatever, and we have to go. Go, man, go.
All right, so it's Real, R-E-E-L, Real Reaction Charters realreactcharters.com. I was going to give my email out. And then my phone number, cell phone, is 609-290-7709.
We have a date, me, you, and the lovely Dee Marie, late April, Bass in the Back on Poppers. New Rod Sears coming out from Trico. Captain Brett, got to try these, baby. I know you're St. Croix, and I love St. Croix. Got to try these, baby. Got to try them.
I'm in. We'll get this gift out there. No problem.
Captain Brett, you take care, man. Thanks again. Hey, if I don't see you, happy Thanksgiving to you and all.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and Denise, too.
See you. Bye.
Bye.
Captain Brett Taylor, class act, class fisherman. Chemistry. He used to teach, coach tennis and all that, and math, and chemistry. To be a chemistry. I couldn't stand chemistry. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio, man. Hey, next governor of New Jersey. On deck. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. South Jersey's talk station.
Fox News. I'm Deborah Valentine. A trial's underway in Athens, Georgia for the illegal immigrant accused of murdering a Georgia nursing student, Lakin Riley. Here's Fox's Jeff Manasso.
Venezuelan national who reportedly crossed into the U.S. illegally in 2022 has pled not guilty, opting for a bench trial. The case amplified in the 2024 presidential campaign as a result of the nation's ongoing border crisis.
Jose Ibarra has pleaded not guilty. Nevada's largest culinary union launching an open-ended strike after the rank and file and Virgin Hotels failed to reach agreement on a new contract. Here's Fox's Kristen Goodwin.
Virgin Hotels says it's committed to finding a fair resolution, proposing wage increases that kick in before the fourth year of a contract, but not releasing specifics.
Wage increases and benefits are the sticking points. America's listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Atlantic City electric AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. We have a coastal flood advisory in effect until noon today. For today, windy with sunshine, gusty winds, low humidity, and dry brush will result in a high fire threat with a high of 62. For tonight, breezy, otherwise clear, low 33. Tomorrow, breezy in the morning, otherwise partly sunny, high 62. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy skies, low 40. On Monday, partly sunny with a high of 67. I'm AccuWeather's Caitlin Lawrence on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Yeah, I'm going to refer back to that just monumental historical election that was completed. And here's the thing, what was so, and I was the first one to acknowledge, I never admit anything, okay? I learned that from the nuns. Acknowledge, I never ever thought New Jersey would get this nice big red swatch going up and down the state. Congratulations to Trump and crew, and it was something. And my guest waiting on the line right now has the thing. He said, last time he was on, we were talking about, he says, Tom, we're going to turn New Jersey red. I'm thinking to myself, okay, that's kind of a big dream. Well, man, here it is, and here he is. Next governor of state of New Jersey, Jack Chitarella. Jack, how you doing, man?
Great to be with you, Tom. Thanks for all the kind words.
What? Hey, Chitarella, Gumbadi, you called it, man. You said, hey, it's going to take time. You were right on this. And, Jack, that was really, really heartening to see.
Hey, listen, if you look at history, New Jersey voters always bring things back to an equilibrium level. We were the spark that lit the fuse back in 2021.
When Absolutely.
You look at, right, when you look at that red swatch, as you referred to it, after last Tuesday, it looks very similar to the one I had back in 2021. And we're going to make it even more red in 2025 when we win the governorship.
Jack, there's a groundswell out there, and I really don't think it's going to subside because people want change. Now, Mr. Cittarelli, that was a heartbreaking loss on your end for all the work you did. Listen, I saw this guy in Sussex down to Cape May at all points in between. You covered the state, and more people are already talking about you, Jack. They're already talking about the governor's race coming up.
We're in it to win it, Tom, and there's a whole lot of energy out there. I mean, I thought we were going to pull it off last time. I was very pleased with the energy, but this time it's off the charts, and I think it's even more so. People have had it. They've had it with what they see on the border. Mm-hmm. They had it with the way the Democrats sided with the protesters on our college campuses and the lawlessness in the community with the break-ins and the car thefts. They've had it with the price of groceries, and they've had it with other people's pronouns being jammed down their throats. They've just had it. So let's get back to normal, and we do that with a Republican victory next year.
Jack, New Jersey has such potential. It's been stifled under, again, the respect to the office, who's sitting in the state house right now, but hopefully not for long, whoever they're going to put up on this. He's going to get his ass or her ass kicked. Trust me on that one. Well, Jack, back to the Rack and Fin Radio. You know our proclivities here, what the show is about, hunting, fishing, boating, Second Amendment here. The Murphy administration has slammed the door on any type of conversation with pro-hunting, pro-fishing, pro-trapping, pro-gun groups, namely the State Federation of Sportsman Clubs, New Jersey Outdoor Alliance, you know, the United Bow Hunters of New Jersey, just absolutely does not want to talk to them. He successfully limited and then shut down a bear hunt for a year. So I have to ask you this, in your capacity as governor, will you allow access to these groups that are at the forefront of conservation in the state?
The New Jersey Outdoor Alliance and its loyal members who are good New Jerseyans, Tom, are not the only people that Phil Murphy shut the door on. I had the endorsement of the Outdoor Alliance last time, hoping to have it this time. Can't see why I would not, because I'm on their side. So again, we're going to get back to representing all these constituencies in New Jersey that Phil Murphy has disrespected time and time again.
Jack, your schedule is breakneck. Even now, technically, it's still the off-season, listeners, and Cittarelli is all over the place. When, Jack, because I know you're a great sporting clays, trap, skeet, whatever, when do you find time to actually get out and enjoy yourself once in a while?
Hey, there's a couple hours here and there where I get out on my bicycle. There's a 25-mile ride that I go on that's very therapeutic for me.
What? Did you say what? 25 miles?
25 miles, Tom. Come on. Listen, we want a governor who's in good shape. And, you know, I plan to be here for a long time and getting some exercise is part of that. But we love doing clay shooting. We do it over the holidays, myself and my three boys. In fact, we were just discussing what day over the Thanksgiving break we're going to do that. I enjoy that very much. But we're going to just continue to get out there. But listen, I love the campaign trail. Tonight we'll be in Sussex, and then we'll head over to Bergen. We continue to hit all 21 counties and all 600 diners all across the state of New Jersey.
Jack, impressive group there, R24, Senator Parker Space and Assemblywoman Dawn Fantasia. Good.
I'll be with them tonight.
Good
tandem.
We're
doing the campaign kickoff for the 2025 ticket, and that includes County Commissioner Director Jill Space. So looking forward to seeing all of them. They're great New Jerseyans. They're great Republicans. Sussex is a deep red county, and I look forward to spending time with them.
I'm saying it now. Governor, safe travels, keep kicking ass, and you were correct. You said Jersey is turning red, and boy, oh boy, that Wednesday morning I looked, I said, Cittarelli, man. He just called that one. Well, good luck, Jack. Be safe out there. You take care. Thanks for joining us. See you soon.
Thank you, Tom. I'm on it.
See you, brother. Jack Cittarelli, cool guy. Just, yeah. Now, what is distressing to me is, I guess, Burlington went blue. Maybe people moving over from Philly with their warped values or whatever, you know, that concha hocking, that whole, you know, meat. Yeah. But Jersey, will it go totally red? Now, will we get a few more seats here and there in the Jersey State House? We need them because the Dems still have an overwhelming overwhelming advantage. Now, there's one Democrat, say that word, I'd rather chew on nails. And District 17, met him at the Atlantic State Federation Sportsman's Club Venison Dinner. I think it was back in February or March. A guy named Joe Danielson. Got his boys into hunting and then the fishing and stuff. And he made a point speaking with, shout out to Scott McGahee and all that great crew out there. He says, you know, I'm the only
one who listens to you, meaning the hunters, the fishermen, the trappers, the conservation. I'm the only one that listens. You guys don't have a voice here. No one really on the Democrat side, that side of the aisle, even really cares about you. And I said, I knew that. But when you hear it from a Democrat, I mean, that really hit home. Now, I know Sweeney over the years has been a Senate president. Great job. But great job, Sweeney, did keeping a lot of anti-hunting, anti-trapping, even anti-fishing bills, whatever, from the governor's desk, getting out of committee. But it's changed, man. Now, if Sweeney runs again against Cittarelli, I'm sure it's going to be. Get these other. Get out of here, Republic. Get out of here. Spadia, Bramnick, go away. It's going to be a dogfight because Sweeney does have a decent, a good record in promoting the hunting and fishing rights. So this is going to be what they call a dogfight going down to the end. We shall see. It's again, Tom P., it's almost a year away or whatever. I don't care, man. It's almost here. Look how fast time flies. Wasn't it just last Christmas being a lovely Dee Marie dragon at 600-pound? Artificial tree from the attic, Mary, Mother of God and all the saints. And then my lovely, beautiful lady, she says, no, you go in your office, you go there, or you go fishing or something. She decorates the tree, insists on it with her little candles and the whole nine yards, those little statue. It's amazing the job she does. I drag down the bins with all the stuff around. But again, getting to it. That's how fast time flies. Christmas is already here. Thanksgiving to me is already past. You know, I'm already looking at St. Patrick's Day on my calendar. Anyway, people, be right back. Grab that cup. Grab that Red Bull. Rack and Fin Radio. Jack for governor, man. See you later. Be right back.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Hi, this is Gordon Deal. Coming up on This Weekend, why so many Americans find it difficult to fully retire. Hear the variety of reasons they give. Also, billionaire entrepreneur Elon Musk is in charge of identifying government waste. Hear the programs or departments on the chopping block. Plus, the benefits to skipping excursions while on a cruise ship. And winemakers try a new approach in marketing to 20-somethings. That and more coming up on This Weekend.
This morning at 6 on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Are you ready for a breakfast game changer? Discover hot bagels and more with locations in Margate, Northfield, Summers Point, and Atlantic City. They serve hot, fresh bagels crafted daily in a variety of flavors that will keep you coming back for more. Don't miss their homemade tuna and chicken salads along with delicious soups. Plus, check out their lunch specials and party platters, perfect for gatherings and holiday meetings. Swing by Hot Bagels and More and experience the bagel game changer today. Visit hotbagelsandmore.com or stop in today.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5. For complete contest rules, visit WPGTalkRadio.com.
You know, my travels, I'm always looking for some new products here and there. Stopped in, Charlie's Bait and Tackle there in Normandy Beach, and saw this product here. I said, it's pretty cool. Yeah, Tommy, people are catching bass on it. Down farther south, other chef here, Tommy, people are catching stripers on it. It's a new design, but a new company, been around for about a year, called, I'll tell you this, Happy Time Baits, shad bodies and paddle tail bodies and screw lock heads. New boy on the block. Joining us on the line right now is Scott Hoffman. He is the owner, CEO, Happy Baits LLC. Always trying to avail some new products. They're out at some retail shops up and down the Jersey Shore. And from the reports I'm getting, I caught a few bass. Me, I caught some stripers on Back Bay, nothing big. But, wow. And the best part, you're not breaking the freaking bank. Sorry, Hoffman, I get too excited. How you doing, little brother?
I'm doing great.
These Happy Baits, man, people are talking about them, bro. We don't have much time going. You've been doing this about a year, a little longer. What was the catalyst? What were the impetus? What made you decide to get in this highly, highly competitive cutthroat business, little brother? Go!
Well, I'll tell you, I love fishing a lot of soft plastics and hard plastic baits. Not real big fan of big wood lures, but I just want to get into it and really cater to the fisherman who doesn't want to spend a lot of money on stuff. You know, I mean, all of my stuff is basically around $10 or less.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I feel people want to walk into a shop and spend about $50 and walk out with a bag of stuff. You
That's
know?
Going Not to catch fish. Most importantly, it's going to catch fish. What I like about it, Hoffman, you kept it simple. And so, to me, you look at Mary, Mother of God, you look at this pegboard and say, what color, what's there, you know? You kept it to the, which I like, a good business plan. It's my advertising coming out, people, in my years. A shout out to Wood Advertising there. You kept it simple. You kept the fish catching colors. The plastic is a good feel to it. It seems like a tougher plastisol. What's up with that?
It's actually a PVC plastic, so it is tougher.
Okay.
It doesn't rip as fast as a plastisol. And also, the screw lock heads are not a lead. They're actually a zinc. So you get more body of the head with the same weight. The lead is a little bit heavier, and you get less of a head to it. So I like the bigger head, yeah, because it's a little lighter, and it you get more body to it. You get more swimming action, you know?
So you have the 5-inch shed bodies. This is your Happy Baits LLC. They're at the tackle shops. Select tackle shops. We'll name a few when we close out the program, but or you can, you know, call a shop, tell them to get it. You have in the 5-inch shad bodies, you have white ice. That's badass, Hoffman. You have pink and you have purple and chartreuse. Purple is the dark horse, pun intended here, when it comes to catching stripers. And in the 7-inch paddle tail, that sand eel. Stop it. Stop it. You have the smoke, the sand eel, the white, the pink, and the purple. Dude, especially with these paddle tails, that rib, you breathe on that. That tail's flapping, man.
Exactly. Yep. I love the way it swims. I mean, it's got great action on it. It's got more body than, like, the Kettle Creeks. You know, it's just perfect. And plastic is tough, too, on it, you know.
Well, Scott, the testing this, the design of this, the testing it, because you go anywhere to other shed bodies, everyone's pouring these in his garage or coming from wherever. What made you key on these? Just these two, the 5-inch shad, the 7-inch paddle tail. Will it be coming out anything bigger, anything shorter? I'm thinking, oh man, what about 7 or 9-inch shads for the, you know, for the umbrella rigs or whatever? What are you keying on? Just these two SKUs. By SKUs, I mean the 5-inch and the 7-inch with the colors. Or will you be going shorter or longer? What's the dealio?
Well, I'm going to definitely look into a 3-inch body on the shad bodies, and hopefully by next week, I will have 4-inch in the paddle tail grubs. I'll have them in sand eel and all the fishable colors.
I know you're a saltwater coming, but I'm thinking those 3-inch at walleyes and smallmouth.
Yes.
That's gonna be something. So how long before you got this stuff off the ground? I mean, shout out S&S way back when, Stanley the Ayatollah, Tagarola, Flucarola, Striperola, with his rattletail back in 2012-13, knocking on doors, a clipboard and a pencil in his, you know, tucked in his ear to take orders. Did you do the same thing? Knock on doors, show him the baits, why is yours different? How long did it take to get off the ground?
It didn't take long. I mean, I've been actually testing and all this stuff by the spring. I was getting samples and everything. And I put all my orders in by the summer. I had everything before the fall came. And I just loaded up my truck, and I just made my way south. And then I worked all the way back north and just going to every bait shop and showing everybody, leaving them samples. You know, some people placed orders right there, and they wanted them in their shop.
Often people are catching fish with them. I verified that. Well, myself, because you don't want to just, people, no, let me see it. Now, your zinc heads are screwing. You have, what, 3/4 ounce, one and a half. Do you have anything bigger than 1.5? Anything heavier?
I have 2.5 for the boat guys. Or if you want, you could fish them in a fast-moving water like a canal or a Delaware River, wherever you want, or the boat.
Okay, listen, to the 5-inch shad bodies, white ice, pink, purple, chartreuse, the 7-inch paddle tails. Stop with the sand eel, Hoffman, I'm telling you. You got smoke, you got sand eel, white, pink, and purple, and Happy Baits. Give a contact, website or number, Scott, go.
I'm on Facebook. It's just Happy Baits.